Are we all well and happy? Excellent. Title of my message this morning is I Can Call Him Father. And this is the second of our series that we are doing called The Father Heart of God. Next week, Danelia is going to be preaching. Woohoo! Which will be great. And then the week after that, Danny is going to be speaking. So we've got some great topics and some different aspects to look at the character and the nature of God. I'm really hoping as well that as we go through this series, that we can be transformed as we understand another facet, another element, another dimension to the character of God. And it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian or how mature we are in our Christian walk, or how immature or how young we are in our Christian faith, there is always something to grasp and to understand to a deeper level about who God is. And understanding who He is transforms us, doesn't it? Does. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. And I think God is amazing. And I think it's amazing that He wanted to reveal Himself to us in the image of a father. But not just a father. He is the Father, isn't He? He is the Father. He is the Father of creation. He's the Father of everything. He's not a father. He is the Father. And the amazing thing is that because He is Father, He essentially could have done what He wanted to do. He had the opportunity to reveal Himself in whatever way He wanted to. But you know, He didn't reveal Himself as a dictator, making us, forcing us, you and me, forcing us, demanding that we do what He wants to do. He didn't do that. But, you know, He's given us an option to be part of His family and to have relationship with Him. God doesn't force, He invites us. He doesn't come to condemn, the Bible says, but He comes to save. And in His love, He gave us this element into the world, free will, to decide whether we were going to respond and accept Him. And I wish He hadn't given us that. I think, why, God, did You give us free will, the opportunity to choose whether we accept this most amazing gift? But He's not a dictator. He gives us the option to choose Him and to go His way and to love Him. He's more gracious, isn't He, than any of us? Well, I don't know about you. So much more gracious than I think I could ever, ever, ever be. That's the most amazing God that we serve. Isn't He amazing? He is incredible. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called what? I'm not going to try and catch anybody out. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowable, mighty God, awesome in the very sense of the word, all authority is in His name, all power is in His words, yet He chose to reveal Himself to you and to me as Father. And you know, that shows something of His heart, that He would want to relate to us in that way. And listen, it's because of His love. Can everybody say love? It's because of His great love, that the word says, that we are called children of God. It's because of His great immense love that he has for the world, and his, because of his immense love that he has for you, that we are called children of God. It's for no other reason. He doesn't call us hideous. He doesn't call us rejected. He doesn't call us the pits. He doesn't call us scum of the earth. He calls us his children. And it's because of his love, his immense, unfathomable, in one sense, incredible love for us, that we are called children of God. And the Bible says that is what we are. Children of God. Today, that is who you are today. A child of God with a heavenly Father who is so loving to you, full of grace, full of mercy, full of compassion. A God, because he loves you, has said you can be called a child of God. And when you grasp this aspect, it is so liberating and so freeing that our Father would love us. Do you know that that is who you are today? You're cherished. He loves you with a pure heart, with a holy love, with a righteous love, with a wholesome love. God the Father wants to say to you this morning, my beloved children, will you see that this is the reality of your life today? Will you see it? Will you recognize it? Will you understand it? Will you believe it? Will you take it in? Will you apply it? Will you live it? Will you let this transform you? You may have heard this story before, but during the US Civil War, Abraham Lincoln issued an order that for a certain time, no man was to go home for leave. During the time the order was in force, a man made his way to the city of Washington to see the president, but they wouldn't allow him in to see the president. The soldier said that his wife was dying and he wanted to go home to see her. Still, they refused to allow his admission. He turned away from the White House with his head bowed and with anxiety expressed in every feature. And as he walked down the grounds, President Lincoln's son came up to him and, taking him by the hand, said, "What's the matter?" He turned to the boy and said, "My wife is dying and I want to go home to visit her, but they won't allow me to see the president." "Very well," said the little boy. "Take my hand. I am the president's son. I'm going to take you in." So he led him up the stairs to the president's room, but the guards wouldn't allow him to go into the room. He said, "The president is busy." But the president's son was not put off. He stood there holding the man's hand, and when the door of the Oval Office opened, Tad, his son, cried out, "Father, tell this man to let me come in." Abraham Lincoln dropped his pen and said to the officer, "Let him in." The boy came in with the soldier, who told his story, and Abraham Lincoln dipped his pen in the ink and signed the order for him to have leave, and then sent the man home. True story. As sons and daughters of God, listen, as sons and daughters of God, you have privileges that other people don't have. Do you realize that? Just as it were, in one sense, that little boy took the hand of the soldier and took him right into the president's room. So God, through Jesus, allows us to have access into the throne room of Almighty God. Absolutely incredible. Hebrews 10 verse 19 and 20 says, "Having therefore boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith." The Bible says that God is our Father. And if he's our Father, you are his child. And there are other wild things that God writes in the Bible. I think when I read the Bible, I think, man, I would never dare to say that. He said things like, you know, that we're heirs. If we're sons, then we're heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Wow. I mean, that is an incredible, bold, out of this world, over the top, generous beyond measure statement to say. That if God's our Father, then we're heirs with Christ. You're rich. You're blessed. You're fortunate. You're cherished. You're in an amazing privileged position that you can have access to Almighty God. And when you come into his presence, he says, my son, my daughter, he loves you. Amazing, isn't it? But that's how God would communicate with us. It's because of his love that we're called his children. God loves. Isn't that who he is? You can make that as a statement. God loves. I mean, God, many people think God is so many different things. But the statement I would make is God loves. For God so loved the world. I mean, there are hundreds of scriptures that we could point. What's the driving force of who God is as a father? It's not judgment. It's not critical. It's not condemnation. It is what? It's love. Love is his driving force. And we know that because he can do what he likes. He could obliterate us in a moment, yet his grace and his love are extended towards us in the fact that we're still alive and this world is still functioning. God is love. And we know that that is true. But I want to ask you this morning to say, I know that many of you, most of you, probably all of you, believe in God. But how do we relate to him? It's very easy to believe in God. But do we relate to him as Father? It's a good question to ask ourselves because it can transform the way that we pray, the way that we think about God, the way we think about ourselves. How do you relate to God? So many references this morning to the prodigal son, and I'm going to read the story of the prodigal son to us. George mentioned it. I think Brian mentioned it. Other people mentioned this story. So I want to read from Luke 11 through to 31. We'll just read it through quickly. But it's a great story, and we know about the story, but let's come with it with fresh eyes and see what God wants to speak to us through this morning. And so it's a parable. It's not a true story. It's a parable that Jesus is telling to explain a spiritual principle. So Luke 15, 11. Are you ready? It's a great reading story. I love reading stories. I mean, this is written in red. Imagine Jesus sitting down just telling the story. Right, just sit down. Let me tell you something. Wow. It's fantastic. There was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all that he had and set off to a distant country where he squandered his wealth with wild living. After he had spent everything there, there was a severe famine in the country and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods and the pigs that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to my father, 'Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said, 'Quick, bring a best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his finger and his sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, but is alive again. And he was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, and so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, was lost, but now is found.'" What an amazing story that Jesus was conveying. And if you go to the beginning of chapter 15, Jesus, he tells three stories. But you know what? They all are demonstrating the Father's heart. They're all demonstrating the Father's heart. And that's what we're looking at. The Father's heart. And not just for some abstract thing out here. It's the Father's heart for you. For how it applies to your life. How it's going to transform your way of communicating and seeing the Father. And I want you to see that. I don't want this just to be some kind of, as I say, abstract thing that we look at. I want you to think of it taking out the son's name and putting your name there, applying it to you. Because that's how God, that's the reason why Jesus told these parables, because he wanted to reveal the Father's heart and his nature to us. One of the first parables, Jesus, I'm not going to spend a long time, but this was about the farmer that had 99 sheep and he lost one. And then the father goes out on a mission to find the lost one. And then the second parable is the parable of the lost coin and how the house is turned upside down to try and find the coin that represented life savings. And the third one is the son going off and coming back. But you know, the father's heart is for the lost. Do you know that? The father's heart is for the lost and the needy and the broken. And that's where we all were at one point. And then we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives. You know, people are of great importance and value to God. God's not motivated by the same things that we are. God's not motivated by money. God's not motivated by position. God's not motivated by this, that, whatever it is. What motivates God is love. He loves people. You know, he loves you. I mean, we're in church and everyone's going to say yes. But, you know, he really loves you. Not because I'm saying it, but he really, really loves you. He sees great value in you. Do you realize that? Do you know it? Does it transform you? Does it make you excited that God loves you? He sees you as somebody that he was willing to die for. And you know, the heart of the Father is that nobody is lost or nobody is distanced from him. The heart of God is for the lost, for the hurting, and for the lonely. He wants every person to come to know him, to know his love, to receive his forgiveness, and to receive eternal life. And if that's his heart, then let it be our heart as well for those who are around us. We heard this morning how the Father, his heart was to look and to search. I think Brian spoke about that. And it says in Luke 15, verse 20, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. So Jesus told this story to reveal the character of God. And he's talking about how God relates to us. This was an amazing moment that his father was filled and moved with compassion. And just as we heard, it was the sense of it is that the father, day after day after day, was waiting and looking and watching for his son. Night after night, waiting. Where's my son? You know, that is God's... That's God's depth of his love and his compassion for you. Do you know that? I mean, you can never get to the end of God's love for you. And he says, you're my daughter, you're my son, you're my precious child. God's heart for the son was full of grace. And it says that he threw his arms around him. Just think about this picture. And he kissed him. Didn't tell him off. Didn't condemn him. Didn't judge him, but he threw his arms of grace around him. Now, as I said, take the word son out. Now put your name in there. He put his arms of grace and his arms of love around Roger, around Naomi. He didn't judge and criticize, but he put his arms of love and grace around Steve, around Ray. And it was an outpouring of grace upon the son. So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced or opened yourself up to that level of grace, to receive that level of grace in your life from God? To let God wrap his arms around you and say, I don't condemn you, I love you. I mean, that is pretty incredible. Because I can relate to him as God, And I can relate to him as somebody that I need to respect and awe and reverence, which is absolutely true. But equally, part of what he's allowed me to do is to call him Abba Father and to let him wrap his arms of grace and love and forgiveness around me. You know, to wash my sins as white as snow. I mean, we know these scriptures, but wow, what a merciful God to feel that weight of God lifted off us. So have you ever experienced or opened yourself to having an encounter with God like that? There may be things that you've done, things that you're ashamed of, things that you're holding you back, things you fear to bring into the open with God, things that you're trying to hide from him. But God is a God of love, and he's a God of mercy, he's a God of grace to those who ask for his forgiveness. And what's the one thing that the Father did? He, as soon as the son came back, he wrapped it and he restored him, didn't he? He gave him a robe, he gave him a ring, he gave him sandals. Because the son came to the Father. And the son said, I want to be a slave. I'm prepared to be a slave. But what did the Father say? He said, everything was prepared. Said, come, you're not a slave, you're a son. And this is the same encounter that we have today when we come to God, when we realize that everything has been prepared for us. John 1 verse 12 says, when we confess our sins and repent, God gives us the right to become woohoo! He's done it. When we confess our sins, when we repent of our sins, God gives us the right to become, say it again. Yay! Jesus paid the price, so we don't have to be a slave. Galatians 4 verse 7 says, for you're no longer a slave, but a, help me out here. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Wow. That, you don't need to be a slave because you're a son or a daughter. Your identity is not a slave. You're a fully paid up, fully loved, fully protected, graced upon, if I can say that, child of God. Another story. A beggar stopped a man in the street in a large city and asked for some coins. Taking a long, hard look into the man's unshaven face, the man asked, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" "You should," came the reply. "I'm your former classmate." "Why, yes, Sam, of course I know you." And without further question, the man, a wealthy businessman, wrote a check for £1,000. "Here, take this. Start afresh. I don't care what's happened in the past, but it's the future that counts." And he hurried on. Tears welled up in the man's eyes as he walked to the bank. But then he stopped at the door. And as he looked through the glass of the bank, there were well-dressed members of the bank staff and a spotlessly clean interior. And then he looked at himself, his filthy clothes. "They're not going to take this from me. They'll think that I forged it." And so he turned and he walked away. The next day, the two men met again. "Hi, Sam, what did you do with the check? Have you cashed it yet?" "No," said the man, as he pulled out of his dirty shirt the check and explained why he hadn't cashed it. "Listen, my friend," the man said, What makes that check good is not your clothes or your appearance, but my signature on it. Go and cash it. That's the same for us, isn't it? As children of God, we now have got God's endorsement on our lives. It's his strength, his righteousness, his goodness, his holiness, his power that we're trusting in for our salvation. It's all about him and what he's done for it, for us, not what we can do to God. Acts 2:21 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It takes faith to believe and to receive it, but it starts with an acknowledgement that we need it. Don't let the past or present failures keep you from the salvation and from the inheritance that God has for each of you. You know what? When one person gets saved, that brings the greatest delight to the Father, and the whole of heaven rejoices. The other part of the story of the prodigal son is that the other son didn't understand the heart of the father. And so the older son is working in the field when the younger son returns, and he doesn't get home until the party has begun. And then one of the servants tells him that his brother has come home and his father's really happy about it, but the son is so angry he doesn't want to go in. So what does the father do? He comes out to meet the son. And when the father meets his oldest son, you know, he doesn't rebuke him, but he talks to him. And you can see that in Luke 15:28. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out to him and he pleaded with him. And if you look at the meaning of that word, it's like the father invited him again and again and again to come in. He pleaded with him. And it's a sad picture because he also was a son, wasn't he? And he was as much a son as the younger son, yet he didn't understand it. He didn't understand that he was a son, and that he lived every day in a place of privilege. But he was working, trying to earn, as it were, and please his father. You know, so often that can be us. We're so loved by God, yet sometimes we fail to recognize it. And we're doing things to try and please him, because that's where we're getting our worth. I'm going to do something so that you can say, well done for what you've done. But you know, the Father loves you. He loves you. You can't do anything to earn his love and his favor other than putting your faith and your trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's an amazing place peace to know that when you surrender and give your life to Jesus, that he accepts you fully and completely, not on any of your good works, but on the work that Jesus did upon the cross. And you can't better that, can we? I mean, it's incredible. We're so loved by God, and his love has the power to transform our brokenness and to make us whole. And that's what God specializes in, taking the broken, the needy, those that need transformation, and transforming them, making them whole. The older son, like some of us, didn't realize that he didn't need to earn his father's love and affection, but that the father loved him simply because he was a son. So how about us? I'm going to just draw things to a close. Do you understand that you're a son? You're a daughter? And that your Heavenly Father wants that not just to be a title. He doesn't just want it as a title. He doesn't want it just as a formula. Well, the Bible says that we should, when we pray, our Father who art in heaven. He doesn't want it to be a formula. It's not a title. Well, it is a title, but it's so much more than that. Our Father. You know, when I think about my own children as a father, I want to love, I want to cherish, I want to nurture, I want to protect, I want to, lots of things. Sometimes I need to discipline, The whole lots of different things that I do as a father. And God wants to cherish you as well. Are you working hard to please him? Our worth in God's eyes doesn't come through what we do, but by putting our complete trust in the work of his son. And at the end of the parable, Jesus ends the story with the boy standing outside the house. So we don't really, he doesn't kind of bring it in one sense to a conclusion. But I think he does that because he wants us to see ourselves in the story, thinking about where are we today? What are we going to do in our relationship to God? So, are you the younger son who needs to turn around and come back to God? Are you already home but need to come in to the party? Are you the older son just working to try and earn God's approval? Have you been relating to God as a son relates to a father? The Father has enough grace for you. Do you know that? He's enough love for you. And God specializes in working on the prodigals and bringing them back in to his family. So the heartbeat of God for you and for I is to know him as Father and for people to come to know him as well. I'm going to end there, and I just want us to have a time of responding to God. You know, this week, I felt the presence and the anointing of God on me several times, and I really felt this morning, that gave me an understanding again of just, you know how it is, sometimes you just get into a kind of routine with God, and then there are moments where he reveals something of his heart, or he touches you in a particular way, and you just sense his presence. But not just his presence, there's something special. You just say, wow. A couple of times I just felt the mercy and the love of God so strongly on my life for no reason, other than maybe someone was praying for me, or maybe just the Holy Spirit just wanted to encourage and strengthen me. And I thought it would be great this morning for us to respond. And if there's anybody this morning would like us to pray and just in some way minister to you, if you're feeling that you need some encouragement today, or you want an infilling again of the Holy Spirit, be great just to make time to be able to do that. I was just in my living room and just speaking, praying and speaking to the Lord, and I just felt the power of God come so powerfully. I just felt like, wow, felt like weeping before God because his those times are beautiful, aren't they? When you feel God moving upon you. And so let's just close our eyes, shall we? And maybe there is some aspects of what I've spoken about this morning that say, yeah, I really want God to minister into that area. Please let us pray. Let's minister to you. Let God touch your life and impact your life today. Father, thank you for your immense and incredible love that motivates everything that you do. Lord, we can truly say that there is none like you. And Lord, there's so much brokenness and around us. And Lord, we are also have felt and have been in a place of brokenness. But we thank you for pouring into us love that transforms, love that builds, love that restores, because that is who you are. Lord, I'm praying that we wouldn't just know you as Father as a title, but we would respond and have a relationship with you as a Father.